du hörst einen Podcast von Rabe.
We are currently here at Bad Bonn in Düdingen, just before the concert with, now let me count, pigs, 7 times, right?
Yeah, it's not your first rodeo, is it?
No, it's my second. What was the beginning of pigs like? How did you start out?
Firstly, you don't need to say the band name in full every time. You've got a pass now.
Okay.
You can just say Pigs. Some of us go back a long way. Me, Sam and Johnny went to secondary school together, so we played in bands together since like we were 16 years old. And we met Ewan and Adam just kind of in the music scene in Newcastle. It's quite a small city, and just kind of bumped into each other at different shows and got chatting, realised we liked the same kind of music, and just started a band, really, as just a way of having a bit of fun, to be honest. That's that's all it was, just wanted to play some fun shows. I mean, at the time, there was like, there still is, like a really healthy like noise rock and psych scene in the UK that we wanted to kind of be a part of. It was bands like Nod and Part Chimp and Luminous Bodies. Like, there was just so many that we wanted to do shows with. Unfortunately, we kind of fell down that rabbit hole of that scene quite quickly. So, that was the only objective, though, to kind of just play some shows and have some fun.
It didn't start out as a serious music thing. It was just about having fun, having a good time.
Yeah. Pretty much, although I think we were all in lots of other bands at the time, so it was a bit of a side project at the time. Am I right?
I'd say so. I think musically, this band is probably nothing more than one that stuck to the wall, to speak figuratively. Like, we all had other things. We'd play in different bands and play with different, like, within our community of musicians, and do this bit of this band, bit of that band. And like, after all the years of gigging, this one is still going, so I guess that's the... But in any instance, with any of the projects that we would do, it was the remit was always just having fun. I don't think we've ever set out to do anything other than, like, scratch an itch, yeah, musically.
I think it's a testament to the fact that maybe because we didn't take it too seriously, that we stuck together because we're all still friends and we're still happy together.
Last time we spoke was pretty much exactly 2 years ago. Has much happened in those last 2 years?
Got a new album. I'm trying to think about the timeline. So we must have released Land of Sleeper, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we released a new album, got Death Hilarious out. We've done maybe a bit more touring since then. Well, we went to Australia. That was like a mad thing that happened. Didn't see that coming. So we did like a short tour of Australia. The support band tonight, Grinding Eyes, we met them in Australia. So that's a nice little tie-in. And we have... What else have we done? Been over to the US a bunch of times as well. It's been really cool. Been generally pretty busy.
For some bands, 2 years is like everything has changed. They've had like half a dozen kids and everything.
We're glacial. Like, it's... The slower we move, I think, the more secure the foundations become, which is good.
So you're in the right place for glacial development. In your current Bandcamp biography, it says that you, Matt, you suffered from some kind of anxiety that made you fear you couldn't write songs anymore. Did you overcome that? Well, obviously you did, but yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's a weird thing. Like, whenever it comes around to writing words for the new albums, I kind of go through this kind of this like internal battle with myself. Anyway, I don't really class myself as a particularly good lyricist, or it's not really something that comes particularly naturally to me. Like, I've really got to sometimes feel like I'm sort of forcing it, but by the same token, I hate that kind of feeling of forcing something. And like, yeah, with this album, it was tricky. Like, I was going through a bunch of like different things in like other areas of my life, which I think was like leading me to question my abilities in like other areas of life. But I think it you know, it bled through into the band as well, and so I was kind of questioning my ability to be able to do it and to express something like meaningful and worthwhile as well. And it kind of got to a point with it, because I saw on the horizon, like, whenever we come to record an album, like, we'll do all of the songwriting, and then I'll take away the demos now and write lyrics at home usually, but we've already got studio time booked in. So as that was like inching closer, it felt like the pressure was like cranking up more, which again was like creating more resistance against what I was really trying to do. But then it just kind of came to the realization that, well, that's where I am at this point, so I'll just lean into that and like give it a voice, and get it down on paper. As soon as I did that, it felt like I was in control of it rather than it being in control of me. So, yeah, got there in the end.
Obviously, yeah. Well, it sounds really great. So in your process, the music comes first and then the lyrics, or are there sometimes songs that you write and then you put it to music?
No, the music always comes first. I bounce off that. I prefer to do it that way. Like, it feels like I need that music as like a catalyst to like sort of trigger like an emotive reaction. So yeah, it's my preferred way of doing it.
I think with the type of music that Pigs write, it's like fundamentally very much built on rhythm. Like, and as much as at times it might feel like quite reductive or simple in its terms, it's very nuanced rhythmically, and I think that rhythm is something that, as it evolves or appears within the track, it kind of dictates the flow of like the dynamic of the track or like the arrangement of the track. Matt feeds off the rhythm, his lyrics will then fall into space, because it's all about the space between the notes a lot of the time, and I think that, like, fundamentally, the tracks start from this very basic point of like a bounce or a push or a pull, more so than a word or a note or a chord.
Well, your music is really visceral. It definitely comes across as like a strong rhythm at the base of it. For most people, music is a hobby, something you do in their spare time. And I'm just wondering, what do musicians do in their spare time? Do you write reports and stuff like that?
We're all employed elsewhere, I guess. Sam runs a studio that we record in, and he does a very good job of that. He's got like loads of good artists that he works with, friends of ours like Richard Dawson, really good musicians, Smoke, Me Lost Me from Newcastle as well. So Sam's like very much a self-starter, so he does a lot of our productions as well. And Matty runs a company called Wipeout, who are based in Newcastle, who do a lot of music publishing and do a really good job of that, and it's kind of like independent music publishing. Sorry, I'm speaking on behalf of you, Matt. Love just it. Interrupt if you need to. And that's, again, that's very kind of rooted in the northeast and in the community there. Johnny works for a radio station called Amazing Radio. I'm actually a lecturer at the university, so we've all got other jobs, you know.
Okay.
And Adam was working recently in a pub called the Mean Eye Cat, who our deputy bass player runs, called Simon Hubbard. So it's very common. We're all very, you can tell we're all kind of like living in each other's pockets. Yeah.
I was going to answer with climbing. If outside of music, I all I'm bothered about is climbing. I like bouldering, and that's all I care about in life, I think.
Again, you're in the right spot for this.
I mean, the thing about the music industry is, I wouldn't like to call it an industry anyway, but, you know, the thing about the music world is at the moment is that for a band like ourselves, you know, we can't really make a living from it, really. Although we
work in a music community, not a music industry.
Exactly. We work in a music community, and also we're very privileged to be doing the things that we do, and we really love that. And being able to go to the States and things like that, and to do tours like this with really great people and great venues and everything, it's amazing. But we have to supplement that with like other work and things like that, and which is fine, you know, because we're very lucky.
Just out of interest, what do you lecture?
Like sociology stuff. Okay. So nothing to do with music.
I guess it's nice that if you don't depend on your income through music, you can actually do what you want and you don't have to fit a brief.
I don't think or believe there is or has been a great deal of pressure on us to assign ourselves to any particular requirement creatively beyond just doing what we enjoy doing. Like you say, we all have means to live outside of the music and the support the endeavour, which means that music can be exactly what it needs to be for us personally. Like we say it loads, but music is therapy, and for us five, I would say that by God we would need therapy if we didn't have music. And we're lucky that we have it.
Yeah, I was in a band too, and I can confirm it was therapy, group therapy. So where do you get your energy from to do this? Is it from the music itself?
I think so. I think we all are like fueled by it. You can be absolutely shattered. We could drive for 10 hours across 2-3 countries, arrive to a venue, have to 5 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep or whatever, and then play a gig and be so fulfilled by the process of sharing music.
Playing gigs definitely unlocks something in all of us, energy-wise. You know, as Sam said, we can be absolutely at the end of our tether, energy-wise, and then as soon as we get on stage, we find energy from somewhere. It's quite remarkable, really.
Yeah.
It's.
So we did this gig in Berlin last year, or the year before, Desert Fest. And we drove our amplifiers from the United Kingdom, and our van broke down in the Netherlands, and we were very late, and we had to hire a couple of cars, and we had to drive across, how many countries? Maybe one, two countries?
We hired cars in Eindhoven.
Yeah, we hired cars in Eindhoven, and then we were late for the gig, and it was horrible. There was like thunderstorms, the roads were flooded, we were late, we were all exhausted, we'd had this tragedy with the transport. We just got to the gig like half an hour before we played, and then we had this amazing gig experience. And I remember thinking that night, like, this is so strange that you can go from like feeling like the end of the world and like really low to like really buzzing within about an hour. I guess that's what you're in it for, is that being able to get that kind of buzz, really, to be honest. Which is fantastic.
Let's talk about the new album. It's called Death Hilarious. And to me, it sounds more dissonant and darker than the previous albums. Is there like a theme tying the album together?
I can speak for... So I'm a firm believer from... Because I, like you were saying, I do a lot of production. I produce other artists and work in the studio. And then with each album we've done, I end up feeling like quite committed to certain like sonic senses of the music, and the last album was like this headphone listen thing. So like as reductive as it sounds, going into this record, like my primary concern on the sound front was to make something that was as aggressive as possible, because I felt like the last one was like more ethereal in nature, and it had these moments that were quite like a headphone listen. So going into the process, I like personally, I was more concerned on the sonics of it, and then with these guys, because each of us will have our own preconceptions of how things pan out, but then we'll go into like a sharing of our ideas that we're writing, and I guess the what it will be will start to uncover itself. And then maybe there's a little bit of reverse engineering of what it is into this production sense, but there's never like thematically, it doesn't start with an idea. The idea kind of evolves through the process, and the only thing I think that's really like unknown before the album started is just in my head of like how it might sonically shape. So I'm always listening to what the ideas are coming in and how that might fit into how I'm going to approach the recording. So, but otherwise, yeah, it's quite a free, like Matt says, the like lyrically, thematically, that happened after a lot of the music was down and where he was in that time and space.
Like the music lent itself for me to kind of travel that path I did with the the lyrics and explore those kind of more kind of negative aspects of my personality, I suppose. But like Sam says, like I think we're quite weird as a band in a way, because we don't, when we come round to writing a new album, we don't really talk about what we want the next album to be. We just kind of get in a room together and just present each other with little ideas that we've got, and it all kind of just starts to gradually build, and it presents itself its own personality and character. But like, as we're writing, Sam's always got that kind of extra level of like, well, how is this developing in terms of, you know, how he wants to shape it sonically. So it's, yeah, it's interesting how things form, really. We don't talk.
I think we do a good job of not judging things and just leaving a space for ideas to float into.
I would say there's occasional, there's threads throughout all the albums, whether it's like, we were talking about the other day, like on each record there'll be a track that will just loop and weave and destroy itself, like the snake eating its tail kind of thing. And that's something that's like a really fun thing musically to do. And we'll be writing tracks, and then maybe it's like, oh, this track could be the track that does that, because it's so fun to do. At times there is like the sense of like, well, if we can, we should. It's like it's done already, but let's go there. So with this one, like Toe Curler does this thing that appears on other records that we've done, I would say, in terms of like an arrangement. But I guess that's the closest in terms of that kind of concept of preconception.
When we're going through that writing process, like there's always those like two or three tracks that emerge that feel like there's something maybe a bit like different or unusual about them, which kind of ultimately end up for me being like cornerstones of the album in terms of like, you know, giving it its own identity. So personally for me on this album, like The Worm and Glib Tongue and Detroit, like those three felt like, yeah, like foundations or cornerstones of that entire album. Like they just kind of present new shades of colour that we've not really used before.
Detroit is my favourite track on the album.
It's a sort of heavier sound, that stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. It's like a sort of... you said you thought it sounded darker. I guess it would be tracks like that you were thinking of.
Yeah.
Detroit and Glib Tongue and stuff. Yeah.
I guess the title of the album is dark.
It's not really that hilarious, is it? You know,
not really. I looked around on Bandcamp. There's actually a couple of bands called Death Hilarious, and there's a few albums called Death Hilarious there.
It's a literary quote, really. So it comes. It's not. It existed already, but it comes from a passage of writing that Adam highlighted, which perfectly encapsulates like a chaos of the moment, and like this animalistic with the human, and this scene of like, well, pure chaos. It's an amazing piece of writing, amazing paragraph, and then we'd already identified the artwork as something that fit in with the context of the record, and then this paragraph fit in with the artwork, and it was one of those moments where it's like the jigsaw pieces suddenly are piecing together. And it was like it was so apt in that moment that it felt absolutely perfect. But in the same way, I don't know, it's odd. I had a bereavement during the back end of the album, and then I was quite like at odds at times with the album title, because it felt so glib and so like I don't know, like want away to be like throwing these two weighted heavy words. But then at the same time, going through that moment, it felt very apt and powerful. So I think the album title's amazing, actually. Yeah, and fair play for everyone that uses it, because it's
I guess one of the main aspects of art is juxtaposition, and that's definitely that. Also, the imagery on your album is very interesting.
I mean, Adam's.
Well, you actually did that.
No, absolutely not.
Just saying yes.
Yeah, it was all me. No, it was a guy called Aaron Johnson. We were on tour played a festival in Oslo, and the hotel we stayed in had a lot of his work up. So this was two years ago, maybe. Took some photos and put it in the group. It's like, when the time comes, this is a, you know, maybe we should look at this guy's stuff and consider it. And then we looked through some things, and Sam flagged up a piece that I'd clocked, and he felt pretty strongly about it. And then when the idea of Death Hilarious as a title came up, it felt quite fitting with the artwork. Nice, happy accident.
Unbelievably so. The word serendipitous, I think. Just that, like, this thing and this thing at the same time. It's like, whoa, that's it. And then the artist was like, oh, I'm struggling to find... So he had sold the painting. He's like, I'm struggling to find the photo, the high res. He was like, I've got this other painting. And I was in a panic. I said, no. Like, I appreciate you offering this one, but, like, no, man. This is the painting. This is the painting. And then the photographer from all these years back found the photo in his own archives. So it was like, for a moment, it was a panic, because we were like, no, we need that work. But it was all good in the end. It's all fine.
Well, it certainly all fits together nicely. On this album, you've got a track together with LP from Run the Jewels. That is a very unexpected cooperation. How did that happen?
Yeah, it was an idea I'd been sitting on for a few years, actually, that came about during lockdown. I was going through a pretty rough time personally, and just had to sit in front of the computer and record some ideas, and came up with something that I was really pleased with and sat on it for a long time. And it didn't feel right to pull out for the album before, but with this album it kind of felt like it needed something with that kind of vibe. And I put it to the boys when we were demoing stuff, and they had a very different interpretation of what the idea was in my head, and it turned into something completely different, which I love about bringing ideas forward. You know, it doesn't always come out exactly how you imagine in your head when the rest of the band have their input on it. And I was happy to just go with the flow on that one. And it was mooted that we get a rapper on board, which is the last thing I think I had on my mind with that idea. But we made a hit list, and LP was top of that list, and we thought, there's no way this is going to happen. But we may as well ask, send some emails, and we did, and he loved the track and was up for it, and the rest is history, as they say. So it's pretty remarkable that came into being.
And who does the rapping during your live shows?
Nobody, because we unless LP decides to come along to a show and do that song, I don't know if it'll see the light of day live, unfortunately, but one day maybe. I'd love to do it live. Matt can actually rap. He won't
I don't know really where he gets this impression.
You did a rap song.
I know what lane I'm in, and I'm not willing to step out of that lane.
Me and Matt used to live together in Salford many years ago, and I came home from work and he'd sat in front of his computer all day making a song. And he did some rapping on it, and it was actually really, really good. But
I completely lost my mind.
Yeah.
I completely lost
it. Okay, maybe Matt's too sane now to do that. Honestly, he's a good rapper.
Well, he kind of looks like he'd be a good rapper.
Was it because he got my hood up?
Yeah, and a baseball cap, but yeah. And a moustache, yeah. You're a rapper, man. Sam, sorry, I'm terrible with names. I really loved your last album, Old Rubber.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of my favourite albums last year, and I played it a lot in my show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It's a total pleasure to do. That's like, again, like Pigs, that's a major itch-scratching exercise, because I yearn to do overly indulgent harmonic things and try and, like, move things through the course of a bar to suddenly, like, go to a particular melodic shape. it's little more than just an opportunity for me to like overindulge. All through the years of having running a studio and doing this, I never really took the time to like just muck around on my own music. And then on the first record, I saw it as an opportunity to just try out some ideas. And it was over the course of about 4 weeks, I ended up writing the music, not the words, but the music for a whole album. And I was like, whoa. And then I was stuck. I was like, I've got an album and I didn't know what to do with it. And so consequently, I did the first record, Strange Craft, and felt so like fulfilled and engaged by the process that I really wanted to do another one, but I really wanted to work the whole album with the string quartet and just like arrange a piece of music where, because it's all very simple. It's always like a lead melody, second melody, and harmony. Like it's in principle, it's very rudimentary, but like it's about trying to squeeze the most out of each element. And so I had this like want to work with a string quartet on a record. It was like it's quite selfish, but it's fun.
Well, it sounded great. I really loved it.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Glad someone's listening to it.
What, didn't sell millions?
It didn't sell millions. Still got the day job.
Well, I think I've enjoyed enough of your time. It's been really, really nice speaking to you. And I wish you the best of luck tonight and for the rest of the tour. Thank you very much.
Du hast einen Podcast von Rabe gehört, im Sender von Bern. Mehr gibt's auf rabe.ch.